broadcasting from AnnieUpMagazine.com in Tampa Bay, Florida,
with your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long,
it's time to Ante Up. It's August 1st, 2008. We got a pretty interesting show today, I think.
Yeah, and you know what I'm really upset about, Chris?
What is that?
Is that I am just not hip enough to keep up with the whole Red Bull news.
Hey, you almost said that,
I
right?
Almost got it right at home. But they got this flug tag thing going on.
It's Flugtag.
Flugtag, is that what it's called?
Didn't you take German in high school?
No.
Flugtag.
His friend did. I'm German. He was like one of six people in that class. All of us cool guys are in French. You know? French sounds better when you're trying to woo the ladies.
Yeah, you know, they say that German is a dying language.
Really?
No, that's Latin. I'm just... But,
all right, so anyhow, this fluggy tag thing came to Tampa not too long ago.
Yeah. And
apparently, they don't do very many of these. There's only like three in the country. It's coming up in Chicago. We got a lot of listeners in Chicago. And Portland, Oregon, too. But this thing is amazing.
It is.
A bunch of people build these big old...
Flying.
Quote-unquote flying crafts, and they just push them off the edge and crash into the water, and people just pack the entire marina to laugh at these people.
Yep.
And you know, the first thing I thought of, I want to be the person they're laughing at. So I sat down, and I have sketched out Airship Antioch. Now, it's kind of hard to describe in an audio show, but if you want to go to the little Flugtag website that Red Bull has and see what I'm talking about. But essentially, you're making this big kind of crazy flying machine. It's only got to be 450 pounds, including your pilot, which means you're out.
Yeah, I can't even be a pilot.
We'll have to find some kid to fly it.
Tip us over right there.
and it's goofy and funny. So and of course, they want you to try to get some sort of... some semblance of airtime in this machine.
Yeah.
So almost nobody did. Yeah. Everyone went straight to the water, kind of like, you know, Leonardo and Kate. And but I think I have figured out how to do this.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
All right, I am going to sketch Airship Annie up.
Uh-huh.
Here, all right, follow along.
I'm following.
I'm going to do... it's poker, so people love sunglasses, right?
Yeah.
Wear sunglasses at the table, hide your eyes.
Right.
The Royal Eye ones that you can see.
It'd be brighter when you're going off the cliff.
Exactly. But those could be our sails. Our imagine that's the top of the Airship Antioch.
Yeah.
And it's like with, I don't know, whatever the sails are made out of. I'm not a sailor either.
Well, I know what we can make the sails out of. We could just take copies of Ante Up magazine.
Oh, there we go.
Like paper mache.
Yes.
And just make sails out of them.
All right, but that would give us some buoyancy, or what's the proper aeronautical term?
Floating?
I guess. All right. But then the little...
lift, right? It'd give us lift.
There we go.
All right, it'll give us proper lift.
Exactly.
All right, there we go.
Now
they're
on the aft side of our...
The aft. That's a boat. That's back or front, aft. You like it in the aft, don't you?
But then the little the handles on the sunglasses, you know, things that actually attach to your ears.
Yeah, yeah.
Those could wrap underneath, so the pilot's holding on to them.
Oh, okay.
So you're just like, you know, swapping around.
Is this going to be like for like Stuart Little, a little mouse size thing, or I mean, how big is it going to be?
We're going to need a light pilot. So you know, one of us is going to go on a diet. All right, and then the actual ship will be a big round poker chip. So it'll be kind of like flat.
Yeah.
So you know, it's got a little aerodynamics to it.
Yeah.
You know, like those paper airplanes used to dart in, like, you know, algebra class.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the first thing they could be, like, riding on that, and we'll put, like, some, like, you know, cheap wheels there so we can get some good speed going up.
And the wheels will be miniature chips as well, I'm supposed.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we'll get the monster chip guy involved.
Spinners made out of big poker chips for our airship.
And then it's a five-person team, so the other four people are pushing the thing along while the, you know, the pilot guy.
Yeah.
You know, don't call me Shirley, is in there and flying. I think it's going to win.
All right, so who do we get to push? Faso? Me, you?
No, we've seen Faso run.
Yeah.
We need somebody that has got a little more pep in the step.
All right, then that knocks out pretty much everybody in our home game.
Yeah, we'll have to recruit. I mean, this thing is only three of them in the entire United States.
Yeah,
and I don't know when it's coming back.
Yeah, probably like in 10 years.
Yeah, so we get some time.
We get some time to build it.
But,
all right.
I'm just upset that I didn't hear about it until 2 days after the
match. Boy, I can't believe you, a newsman, reads all the papers. Had no idea it was coming.
You know, I don't read the hip stuff. I'm not a TBT
anymore. Yeah, yeah, I know. I was. Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. That was actually the cover story of TBT. It was the last cover story before. Well, it was actually the cover story of the week I left.
Okay.
That's why I knew about it. All
right.
But I love watching that stuff. I would really like to see the stats on it, like who gets hurt and how many people get hurt. I mean, you ever see some of the entries into that water?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like they're going to break their neck. It's ridiculous. And then the rest of the crew always just jumps in behind them because I think it's like a prerequisite that you have to go into the water.
Oh, yeah, if you're going to go through all that effort, you're going to get wet.
Who wants to fall like 3.5 stories, though? Although the ramp at Tampa was pretty lame. It wasn't as high.
Okay.
It was clearly a smaller ramp.
All right.
But... Yeah, I'd love to hear how it goes in Chicago and see if anybody...
But I haven't seen any poker-themed one out there, so we might be onto something. Of course, again, we don't know when it's going
to
come back.
Yeah, my stepson went to it. He said it was so packed, they had like 100,000 people there, and they couldn't even get to it. They had to watch it from a bridge, like on the way to Tampa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was that packed. They couldn't even get close to it. So we were going to go, too. I was thinking about going to that, but I was going to do some scouting, you know, to see, you know, exactly what we'd have to build for next year, you know?
yeah, right.
I tell you what, though, I think that's the best part about our show now is that we get to talk about the World Series of Poker.
Yes.
Because that is really what's making all the headlines right now. It's always a great time of year when it comes back to television. I just love to watch it every week. But the problem is that we need to address something.
Yes.
Yes. A good fan here, Static Kling, he has followed through on his promise. The minute we open up our hotline, bam, he gives us a call. And wants to follow through on his first call when he said he'd let us know in 90 days what he thought of the final table. So here it is.
Yeah.
90 days are up. Actually, a couple of days ago on the Slacker. I do believe that having the World Series of Poker main event table final 9, 90 days or 117 days out is ridiculous. It's just a ploy for money from ESPN. I think players were secondary on that. Think of it as bowling. 10th frame, sorry, take 90 days off. Come back, no warm-up, just go. Your case is ruined. It's screwed. It's dumb, and I hope it fails a miserable death. Love the show. Talk to you guys later.
And that's what I like about Static Kling, is he puts it on a level that I can understand.
I was going to say, he threw a little bowling reference in there, but I want to see what you think about his bowling reference, because it's not completely accurate.
Okay.
In this sense.
Yeah.
Because they're not holding the entire 10th frame. It'd be almost like... the last strike of the 10th frame. You know, you got your first two strikes. Go into the 300 game.
No, I disagree with you. I think he's right. You played for 12 days, just like you played for 9 frames.
All right.
Get to the 10th frame against your opponents, and you have to bowl the first ball, and then if you get a strike, you get 2 more. And what happened is, at the final table, what's going to happen is they're going to wait all that time. They're going to start the 10th frame, right? They're going to play until they get down to 2, and then they're going to come back the next day and play heads up. Same thing with bowling. You know, you get to the 10th frame, you wait. What he should have added was, okay, you bowl the 10th frame, and then you throw a strike, and now, okay, you got to wait another day to bowl your 11th and 12th frames.
But
I like this analogy, and I agree with him. I think that it's definitely just for money, and it's definitely for awareness. But, again, that awareness could get you into trouble, which is what we're finding out now. You know, it's we wondered what would be the problem. People were talking about guys dying and you know, not getting a green card to come back or a passport or, you know, whatever, visas. And it turns out, well, some guys, you know, he's actually from here and he's wanted by the police.
Well, wanted is kind of a light word. But,
yeah.
You know, we talked about David Ream a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And he's got a misdemeanor trespassing charge, and he kind of skipped the state. So the warrant's still open. Now, of course, people are all joking. I think Steve, the columnist up in Chicago, was talking about how he's going to get cuffed when he raises from the button. And this is not like that big a deal. But hopefully he'll get his whole legal thing worked out before then. But, no, we've been calling him David Chino Ream.
Yeah, that's not... That's what his nickname is.
And our internet expert, John Lanier, sent us an email and said,
Yeah.
Maybe people don't want to be calling him Chino. Now, I joked because I was like, I thought he was going to wear chinos.
And that's what I said. I thought he was wearing pants, you know.
That shows you how good I am in the gang echelon here in Florida.
We're supposed to be responsible journalists, Scott. We need to look up stuff before we start, you know, pontificating on it.
All right, well, John claims that Chino, in this sense, is a Mexican gang reference meaning Chinese and is not meant as a compliment.
Wow. But why would he use it as his nickname, then? People aren't just labeling it.
Maybe,
you know what
people
I mean?
Are. Maybe just, you know, people just start calling him Gino, and he's like, oh, all right, cool.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Not everybody likes their nicknames. I mean, but I guess still, Helmy's finally coming around to liking the poker brand now that he knows he can brand it.
Yeah, make money on it.
But I don't think he probably started out wanting to be the poker brat, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I tell you what, I won't call him that. But if we ever get to finally talk to him, we'll ask him what it means. Maybe he does wear pants. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't know. We don't know for sure. But yeah, if it's a racial slur or anything like that, we're not going to use it. So we're not calling him that. That's it. It's an official ruling of the Annie Press.
We call him Remy.
Remy.
You know, George Bush.
Is it Reem?
For a while on everybody's name.
Reem is like an air conditioning unit, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
We just say, hey, David, you blow Reem or whatever.
Oh, that's
no,
bad. That's
no, I don't know. Like air, you know, air. You blow cool air. You're cool, you know. Cool like a Reem air conditioning unit. I have no idea. But really, I mean, give a guy a nickname that he can, you know, use proudly. You know, like Moose, you know. I like being Moose.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you have a nickname? I can't remember.
I don't have a nickname.
Just Lang, right? We call you Lang.
Exactly.
You really don't have a nickname?
No.
Man, didn't they call you like, you know...
They've called me all kinds of bad things.
In high school, like when you were in track. Didn't they call you like Lightfooted Scott or what?
No.
The Wind?
I was known as LD, which was short for long and a word that rhymes with it that we will not go into. Go back and do the math later on when the kids aren't watching.
Do the math. Funny. Count the letters.
That's as close as I've ever come to a nickname.
Okay. God.
But, you know, all right, so here's the thing. Static called in, and, you know, people are still going to have their views, but it's still too early, isn't it, to really decide?
Yeah. I mean, people have their knee-jerk.
Until, actually, they finish it in November.
Yeah.
It really does make sense to me to keep belaboring the point.
To me, it really, to be honest with you, it really doesn't matter. I enjoy not having a world champion yet because we're going to watch the poker on TV, and you know, after that, then it's like, all right, now we got something really cool to look forward to at the end of this. Because most of the, you know, main event coverage is pretty, you know, I don't want to say lame, but, you know, I'm not really a big fan of watching poker on TV for a month straight and not having a result. So, at least now, you know what I mean? Especially, I don't like watching it when I know what the result is, and I still have to watch it for a month straight, you know? At least this way, okay, we don't know who won, and now we're going to find out, you know, together, live, kind of. And I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I really haven't, you know, I have one of those Google alerts set up for World Series, and there are some stories trickling in from around the country and stuff. But I don't think, this is just my impression, I don't think the World Series is getting the type of buzz they thought they would get from it at this point.
A couple things. One, it's early still. I mean, we've been trying to get a hold of David Reem through Poker Stars, who represents him, and they haven't, they're like, hold on, we're going to get you to you, but we just haven't yet. So I think people are still trying to get that stuff out. And the big PR machine hasn't started yet.
Okay.
And then, two, I just, you know, we won't know until the PR machine starts, but I'm not sure they necessarily got the personalities that they were hoping for.
But that's the thing.
I mean,
there's
no big pro at the table.
Exactly.
Nobody with a big, you know, that we know of yet that's got a, you know, big story about his, you know, lost three legs in the war and came back from, you know, whatever, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
So, you know, you look at the group and none of them really have a big...
But that's what's making it possibly a failure at this point, was that they were hoping for this big thing and now they've got to, like, make heroes out of people that...
Yeah, that's exactly what they said they're going to do. So that's why I said it's too early.
We'll see what happens.
If you have 2 months, if they make heroes out of these people, then it succeeds. And November, people are like, I still don't know these 9 guys.
Well, obviously they're going to get their buzz just because of the fact of what they're doing, the actual act of delaying and everything. They're going to get enough buzz out of it. But it just feels to me like it's going to be a struggle for them to really pump it up to what they're envisioning. So we'll see what happens. But I've enjoyed the TV coverage so far. Matter of fact, the first week of coverage... with the pot limit event, Hold'em. That was pretty exciting. As far as, I mean, the names at the table, Nanad Medic, which I think it's Nanad Medic, but don't get me started on pronouncing, you know.
And certainly don't ask me.
Yeah, I think it's Nanad Medic, and they keep calling him Medic. You know, and then, like, Lon made a joke, like, he's going to need a medic, if he goes all in with his hand. And I was like, oh, man, that's not good. But, you know, Norman Chad's still on his game, and they're doing the nuts in the second half of the, you know, coverage. They do the split one-hour coverage and do one final table. But really, the names, Nod had Kathy Liebert, Andy Block, who, again, finishes second, which, heartbreaker. Mike Sexton, and a couple other people too. It was a packed table with some big names, and that was exciting. The other thing too was there was one hand which could have ended it all. It got down to three-handed, and Nanad has pocket queens and raises. Kathy Liebert's short stacked goes all in. Block looks, and she has pocket sevens. Block looks down at pocket nines and re-raises basically enough to put Nanad all in, and he has queens. Nanad turns to like Michael, the grinder Mizrahi, who's in the stands watching him. He's kind of like making his face like, oh my God, I have a monster here. I have to call, you know. So sure enough, he calls, and it's queens over nines over sevens. And if Block somehow spiked a nine,
of course,
he would have ended the tournament right there. But a queen actually came on the flop, and that's how Nanad ended up winning the whole bracelet. But it was pretty exciting. And the coverage, like I said, I always liked the coverage. And the first nuts was they went back to Billy Gaze's. Did you ever remember when he tried to kick that field goal last year and then he got hit in the face with him? So they did a little skit where he tries to kick 10 field goal tries to make one. And all the while, Norman Chad is asking him all these like questions that are like just cracking him up and insulting him and everything. And he makes one out of 10. He makes the last one. So it was a lot of fun, and I'm really enjoying the coverage. And that's just my best part of my TV viewing week, you know.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm starting to think a little bit, not that I wish anything bad to happen to Lon McCarron, but every time I go to the World Series of Poker website, you know, I was trying to find some information, all of a sudden, blam, it burst my speakers out. Raymer wins it all!
I know.
And then there's like this loop there, and I think it's becoming his new let's get ready to rumble thing that like Michael Buffer has or something. It's like his catchphrase. I mean, you can't go anywhere without hearing it. And I just wonder if he thought at the time when he screamed, Raymer wins it all, that it's going to be like, you know, outlast him forever. That's what people are going to remember about the World Series announcing team.
Well, you should have had this thought a few months ago when he was in town. I could have asked him.
No, that's true.
I'm sure.
I guess I'm just wondering. It might be like, you know how like Mel Blanc has That's All Folks.
Yeah.
Tombstone, maybe.
I don't think so. I think that's ESPN's doing, not his. He's not going to show up at other events and they're going to be like, here's Lon McCarron. Raymer wins it all. That makes no sense. You know, let's get ready to rumble or whatever makes sense. But I don't know. That's pretty funny. But you know what, though? The thing about the World Poker Tour, too, just got picked up by FSN. And I just hope that FSN doesn't ruin it like they ruin all the other poker shows. I mean, I just, you know my feelings on FSN, you know what I mean? But I'm happy that someone picked it up. I'm happy that it got picked up. And then just recently, too, GSN finally inked their deal with High Stakes. And again, I like to take credit for that one.
Yeah, I know you do.
I think that we had something to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't understand why they would get rid of the World Poker Tour and keep High Stakes. And when the World Poker Tour had higher ratings than High Stakes.
Yeah, I don't know. They think it's more game showy at the High Stakes when it's not a tour.
Game showy. Okay, well, that's fair.
I don't know. Yeah.
But here's my open plea to FSN. Please, please, just let them do the show and just put it on your... Don't get Chris Rose involved.
I like Chris Rose.
Oh, you would like Chris Rose. He's clueless. Best damn poker show.
He's got a good best feel damn. To how he does things.
Just don't call it the best damn World Poker Tour. That's all I'm asking.
I'm sure that's not going to happen.
Just let the good people at the WPT do what they've been doing. Get a new host again, whoever that new host is now, I don't know. And then just let them do what they want to do and keep it on your channel. Because they're running out of channels, really. I mean, I don't know what's going on here, but they're running out of places to broadcast it. It's kind of like the hosts. They get a new host every year. They get a new network every year, you know. But I'm happy. I'm happy that they found somebody, and just don't ruin it.
All right, Chris. So, you know, our hotline is just mere weeks into existence, a brand new one. And apparently, this is good news because, you know, we just started this new venture. We got our big, high-paying jobs.
Right.
And lots of Ford Explorers that we won. Back at the time,
right.
So, you know, we don't have any, we're using public transportation to get around. So, this particular hotline call, I found very interesting.
Hi, this is Annabelle calling from the Awards Slam Center. We have been trying to reach you for a while regarding our promotion to receive a brand new Ford Explorer or $25,000 in cash. I've brought some great news for you. I need you to call me as soon as possible. My toll-free number is 1-800-918-4224, and your claim number is FNPP3112. This is your last and final notice, so it is very important that you give us a call as soon as possible. Thank you, and have a great day.
How do they track us down?
They just, you know, and the thing is that we never claimed the other two that we won. So when she says last and final notice, I'm not buying them.
I don't believe her.
They just hang out, they wait, they're like, you know, we're going to get this to them at some point.
I don't like being lied to. I don't like being lied to. You know, I think this time we're going to take the cash. We could use the money right now, I think.
Could.
We're going to take the cash.
We'll buy a rickshaw or something.
And how does she say it exactly the same way every time? It's amazing.
It's almost like it's a script.
Can't believe it.
In a call center.
You know, that reminds me, too. My mom, when I was doing those commercials way back when for Derby Lane, you know, before we stopped using them, my mom would say to me, Chris, you always say it Saturday. You need to say it Saturday. And I was like... She goes, every time you say it that way. I said, Mom, it's a recording. I did it once. You don't do those commercials every time? My mom really thought that I did those commercials every single week fresh. Every single week. And I was like, no, Mom. So same with the Ford Explorer lady. She's not sitting there recording it every single time she calls the number. So, but I think we're going to take the cash.
Yeah, I want to get inside these people. I want to find out how effective is marketing, whatever there is to marketing, to hotline owners. Because that's the only place I ever get these calls.
And it's even easier to get hold of us now, because now you just got to call direct. Last time, you had to, like, push numbers.
Right. Yeah, you
so
actually had
now,
to like, work for it.
Even now, I don't know how they're doing it. They must be just sitting there with, you know, some guy in a room with a phone and, you know, a book in a redial.
All right, so actually, it's our third Explorer, so maybe we should share the wealth and give one to people who contributed to the show.
Sure.
Like, you know, Columbo.
Columbo, absolutely.
Great part of the show forever. Maybe we should reward him with an Explorer.
Tired of seeing him drive around that beat up hunk of junk that he's got now.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually call back our Ford Explorer lady and say, nope, you know what?
Yeah.
We're giving Columbo, and we'll give her Columbo's number.
Yeah, we'll give
her. All right.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, The Case of the Dirty Banana. It's the Apes 2 main event, and it's still early in this No Limit Hold'em tournament. In this hand, I'm in mid-position with just under a starting stack size. The blinds are posted, and a couple of folds to me, and I peek down at King of Spades, Ace of Spades. It's early, so I just raise it up to 2x big blind. Play's been a little tight.
Oh, I don't think we are trying to steal anything here.
Folds to the button, who raises to 265, or 3 times our raise, and the blinds fold back to me.
I don't give up that easily, sir. You can count on that.
So I make the call, we have a nice pot of 570, and the flop comes down 8 of diamonds, jack of diamonds, ace of diamonds, 3 diamonds. Since my cards are black, I check, and the button bets 445 into 570. I'm thinking that there is only a few scenarios where I've fallen behind here, so I decide to call. Will he fire again?
Maybe you could, take the initiative away from him.
That would be bold. Let's see what the turn brings us. The King of Hearts. Interesting. Just got more interesting. The pot is about 1,500. You have about 2,000 behind. Your opponent has you covered by about a 2-to-1 stack. What's your move now?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm never a big fan of the min raise.
Yeah, that was the first thing. That was the first little...
Matter of fact... If I remember correctly, that Deep Stacks thing I went to, one of the things they said was never min raise, you know, and they talk about it's the worst play you can make in poker. And I have to agree, I they were playing tight, and I guess he wanted action, but now look what he's looking at. Now he's got action, and he really doesn't know where he stands.
What action with Ace King?
Yeah, it seems like he wanted action.
Even Super Slick, which it was here. I'm going to make my standard raise.
Yeah.
If I get action, great, but
yeah,
I'd rather just... be happy to take the pot.
So we're looking at top two, but there is a straight draw out there. There is a straight out there now, and of course there was a flush that was flop possible. What do we do here? Do we think that we're going to bet out? I think we're going to bet out. I can't check again in case this guy's got a naked diamond.
Yes, exactly.
We got to get some information. You know, and the pot was 1,500, so I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I'll bet 1,000. You know, that's 2/3 of the pot. And then that's 50% of my stack, so I'm letting him know I'm committed to this hand. If he shoves, I'm going to have to call. So, I don't know. Although they do say, too, you know, if you're going to bet 50% of your stack, you might as well shove. So, I don't know. See, we didn't get enough information from that re-raise. I would have come over the top, I think, pre-flop.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm out of position, right?
Yeah, the thing was about pushing here in the end, I think, though, is that I think you're making a big enough bet to signify the strength of your hand. So we're
yeah, but you can't get away from your hand either. I don't think you can fold with 2,500 in the pot, and then if he comes over the top, you have 1,000 left, you're looking at 4 or 5 to 1 on your money. You can't fold with top two, so maybe, but I can't check here either, you know?
Yeah.
There's no way you check top two here.
You probably put yourself into a trap here. You're out of position, a scary flop that you think might have put you ahead.
That's why I always...
In a turn, that's probably the worst card in the deck, I'm guessing. Could be.
Yeah.
Because it proves your hand and knocks it, so you can't get rid of it.
That's why I would have re-raised pre-flop, I think, and define it right there. And then if he shoves, you're happy going all in, I think, with ace-king, or getting away from it. But let's see what happens next week.
This is Daniel Negreanu of FullContactPoker.com. You're listening to Ante Up.
You know, one of the things that we're going to be doing with our magazine is we're going to be, you know, all Florida all the time. But, you know, we're also going to offer that little, hey, here's you know, some big-name people, too, that we like to talk to and just give them a little taste of what it's like to be in the shoes of these famous pros. So for our first interview, I chose Evelyn Ng, and we had a lot of fun. It was a phone interview because I was going to do it just for the magazine, but then I said, let me record it. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so I recorded the magazine's call, and we had a lot of fun, so here it is.
Yeah, I tried to tap into the other line
to eavesdrop, but
no. Wouldn't work.
So, sorry, buddy. I went solo on this one. You can have the next one if you want. But
We'll let our listeners try to figure out why you picked this particular person to go solo with. That's cool. Nice job.
Thanks.
All right, let's listen.
You have a ton of nicknames. They call you the queen of the WPT. They call you...
They do?
That's what I've seen online. Miss Champagne. And a lot of people call you Evie.
The Champagne
Baby.
Nickname is like a thing that I've actually tried to clear up, like in some interviews recently and stuff, that... Like, the champagne thing, it's not even really my nickname. It was kind of a joke that my ex-boyfriend, Adam Schoenfeld, used to make. Because, I don't know if you know, but there used to be a singer from the 70s named Evelyn Champagne King.
Yeah.
So he would call me Evelyn Champagne Ing. And he said that, I guess, in a World Poker Tour interview. And then it got printed on Wikipedia, like, for my entry on Wikipedia, and then now people just call me Champagne, but it's not really just Champagne. It's Evelyn Champagne Ng or nothing.
Okay, so we're setting the record straight today then. And I know I've seen a lot of people call you Evie Baby, and then some just call you Evie, which...
See, a lot of Brits call me Evie because that's how they pronounce it, but it's Evie.
Okay. I thought, you know, the nickname like Evie, you know, you'd want to stay positive all the time, right? Otherwise you'd be negative Evie, and that's not good for a poker player.
Well, that's cute.
All right, so a little while ago, now you know our magazine is based in Florida, a little while ago you came here for the Pros versus Joes, One-Eyed Jacks. How did that come about, and what do you think of Florida players?
Well, I came about from my friend Karina Jett actually hooked me up with that tournament, and the people in Florida were fantastic. Everyone was so nice. There was a lot of fans there. Everyone was really friendly, and, you know, I had a really fun time there.
And what did you think of the room down there at One-Eyed Jacks?
I thought it was a great room. I mean, it was, like, very comfortable. It felt like, you know, like a very, like, almost like a home kind of atmosphere. Like, everyone was really friendly with each other. Everyone knew each other.
Yeah.
And I really liked that. It was, like, a real poker community there.
You know, obviously, traveling the world playing poker tournaments is nothing new to you. I heard you got a lot of time to see the Philippines. Do you want to explain that for me?
There was a tournament, the first Asian Poker Tour stop in Manila. Yeah, it was my first time there, and I had a really fun time.
How did you do over there?
Well, I only played the main event. There were tournaments leading up to it, but
okay.
I only played the main event, and I actually busted out in 10 minutes, so
wow.
I didn't really get to enjoy the Manila poker scene very much.
Wow, so you flew like 18 hours or whatever and then got to play that? Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I mean, we had already been there for a few days, and it wasn't so bad, because, you know, it's like when you bust out of a tournament, say, in Tunica, Mississippi, you're in Tunica, Mississippi, but when you bust out in Manila, at least, like, you're in some exotic
location.
All right, so I interviewed Justin Bonomo recently, and when he signed with Bodog, the CEO had said, Justin lives and breathes the Bodog lifestyle. Now, back in 2006, those are the exact same words they used when they signed you. What is up with that?
Well, I think Bodog is a really good company, and the people that, you know, that represent Bodog on Team Bodog, you know, Justin, myself, David Williams, right. and Jean Robert, I think we all kind of have that lifestyle, and I think that's perhaps, you know, the reason that they chose us for the team. And, you know, I think we're all super lucky and super thrilled to be on, like, the coolest, hippest team in poker.
Absolutely. So explain to me then, I asked him this too, explain to me what that means for you, the lifestyle of a Bodog player.
The Bodog lifestyle, I guess, is being, I guess for the cool kids. I'm not sure. You know, we all kind of have our, you know, our poker side of our lives, but, you know, we all have other interests. You know, we all enjoy, you know, nightlife, the finer things maybe, but, you know, we're also big poker nerds at heart.
Now, what's it like being, like, the only female star in the Bodog constellation? Is there any advantages to that?
Yeah, I guess there is an advantage. I mean, I really like it, and it's, you know, I guess the Bodog standard females is up there, so I guess it's a compliment for me.
All right, so I read an article about genocide recently where she posed nude for Playboy, uh-huh. and I don't know if you heard about the interview afterwards she had, but she said she'd love to see you do that. Have you ever been approached?
Yeah, I've actually talked about it with her.
Yeah.
Where it's not something that I've ever pursued or, you know, really even entertained the idea of uh-huh. very much, but I wouldn't say that I would never, ever do it,
okay.
but it's not something that I've ever, like, dreamed of or really...
Were you taken aback by her, like, saying that in an article, or were you fine with that?
No, I mean, it was a compliment. I'm friends with Genocide, and, you know, to me, it's, like, something that she's always wanted to do. So for her to say that, for me, it just shows that, you know, she thinks highly of me that way, I guess.
I used to consider myself a pretty good guitar hero player
uh-huh.
until I saw you play. What is the deal? You are awesome at that game.
Well, I seriously feel like that game was made specifically for me. Because I've always, you know, secretly wanted to be some kind of musician or, you know, music producer or do something musically, uh-huh. which I never really followed through with. You know, I had some lessons when I was a child for, like, piano and things like that, right. but I never really stuck with anything. So I guess Guitar Hero is my way of living out my rock and roll fantasies, I guess.
Have you played the Aerosmith version yet?
Yeah, I have Aerosmith, but I haven't gotten to spend a lot of time playing it because
I'm
busy with the World Series.
Yeah. I hear there's a Metallica-themed version on the horizon, too.
Yeah, that would be really cool. I mean, if anything, that's the one band that all Guitar Hero players
Absolutely.
Love. They have their own game.
If you could have any song made for Guitar Hero, what would it be?
Crazy Train by
Ozzy
Osbourne.
All right, excellent. All right, well, I guess from one video game to another, what was it like being immortalized in Daniel Negreanu's game Stacked?
I mean, that's just the coolest thing ever because I am such a video game nerd. Like, to be in a video game, I guess that's like, you know, the epitome of cool for a big gamer nerd like me.
It's like the mothership calling you home.
Yes, but if they would make a Guitar Hero or Rock Band character after me, then, you know, I could, you know, die happy.
You know, I've seen your avatar in that game, too, and it doesn't really look like you, though.
In the Stacked game,
yeah.
It looks exactly like me.
Do you think
In the World Poker Tour game, it doesn't look
anything like me. Oh, okay, well, I'll check them both out. What was that process like? Did you have to do anything, or would they just take your photo?
Well, they took a lot of photos.
Really?
It wasn't just one. But yeah, they had put, you know, they put sensors, I guess, on me, and
oh, yeah.
they took a lot of different photos from different perspectives and different positions, I guess.
God, would you ever have dreamed, you know, growing up in Canada, that this would, you know, this would be your life and becoming a video star and a poker star just like this?
Totally not, because when I started playing poker, it was, like, very fringe, very, it was not something that was so commonly accepted. Like, you know, I remember I went to my ex-boyfriend's Harvard reunion, his 10-year Harvard reunion.
Uh-huh.
And when, you know, there was all, like, you know, magistrates and noblemen, like, doctors, lawyers, and, you know, they would ask me what I did, I would tell them I was a professional poker player. And, you know, 95% of them would just have nothing to say, and they would just turn and start talking to the next person.
Oh, man.
And if I went to that Harvard reunion now, you know, they would all say, oh, do you know Johnny Tan? Do you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know Howard Letterer? Do you know this and that? Like, so now it's pretty surreal you know, how accepted and how huge poker is now, and you know, it's definitely really cool for people who've been in the game for so long.
Well, you know, speaking of when you first learned how to play poker, and of course speaking of Daniel, his book is finally out, and I had a chance to read your chapter. Did you feel like there was a lot of pressure knowing your chapter would appear first in the book?
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
But there was a little bit of pressure because, you know, Daniel Negreanu's book, and knowing that people are going to expect to have, like, the high caliber of knowledge and, you know, insight that Daniel has shown us over the years. So there was, I guess, that pressure to live up to it.
And you also, it was his system that you sort of embellished on. Could you hear him in your ear when you were writing it?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel's voice is so strong. Like, when you read his blogs and, you know, his articles and things like that, you definitely hear Daniel's voice and character come through his writing. And so, yeah, I guess I always have that voice in my head because I've known him for so long as well.
It's a pretty good time to be friends with Daniel, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've known him for half my life, so I'm used to it, I guess.
If you could put in a good word for me, I'd appreciate it.
Well, great job.
Great job.
No, you got a lot out of her, and the Guitar Heroes, that was my favorite. I mean, I guess we should be talking about her poker.
I know.
But, you know, I saw her playing the Guitar Hero when I was out in Vegas, and I'm like, oh, you got to ask her about that, so.
It's pretty amazing. You know, I think I said this on the show that before, but I watched a video of her doing it. They had a prop bet, and she was doing it with some guy, and it was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous. She had like a 609 note streak that she didn't miss a note, and her fingers were a blur. It was just sick. I mean, I play the game, I beat songs on expert, and my fingers go fast and everything, but you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I don't get them all. She was just 609 in a row. It was insane. You know, it was, but I still don't think that the avatar looks like her. This is my opinion. But whatever. She was a great sport and a good interview. And you know, I didn't realize. I thought Sam Minatello at One Eye Jax was her friend, and that's how she got involved. But really, it was Karina. So that was cool that she came to the area, and she'll probably come back again. I'm sure that Sam will keep holding those tournaments for our players around here, and which is always a good thing. But she was a great interview, and I really, you know, I want to thank everybody there, and like Wicked Chops Poker, they lined it up for us, and it worked out really well. So we'll see what comes up in the future from that.
Very good.
All right, let's move on to our Hand of the Week.
This is Jennifer Harmon at Full Tilt Poker, and I listen to Annie Up.
All right, well, we'd already mentioned Karina Jett, and
yeah.
So she plays a little role in this week's Hand of the Week.
Wow, is it her, or is it she's involved in it?
She
it's
and
her
Chip
tournament, or?
And a hero, and...
Chip's in it, too?
Chip.
Wow,
yep.
What a segue.
Yep.
And I really didn't mean to do that, either. I swear, I did not mean to do that. I had no idea that hand involved them. That's awesome.
All right, with a hand sent in to us from Tate in Massillon, Ohio, the cradle of high school football.
I'm glad you know about that stuff.
Yeah, Northeast Ohio. All the best football players come from there.
Okay.
I mean, Florida might say it or California.
Any pros?
No. Ohio. Oh, yes.
Name one. I put you on the spot. You don't know any.
There's a lot of them.
You're just bragging.
I'm just trying to find the best one.
You're just bragging.
This is a poker show.
All right. Enough about football.
All right. So anyhow, Tate from Massillon sent us this hand. He says it's an 18-person tournament. Top five places are paid. Six players remain.
Oh.
That's what we call the bubble.
The bubble.
Now, it's a tournament hosted by Chip and Karina Jett.
Oh, okay. It's probably their free roll for joining their...
Probably could be. Yeah. And Chip, of course, has a commanding lead.
Of course.
He seems to have a commanding lead.
Of course. He's Chip.
Exactly.
His name means throw chips in the pot. I mean, that's what his name means. Obviously, he's leading.
All right. So Mr. Jett has chipped up to 15,000 chips, all right?
Okay.
Our hero here, which is 33. I'm not even going to try. It's probably a big old...
How do you spell blue, 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 blue?
It's a blue, 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 and blue, 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 blue. 33.
Okay, 33.
Is run the middle stacks with about 5,000 in chips.
Okay.
And the other middle stacks at the table have 10,000 and 5,000, and a couple short stacks with 500 or fewer chips.
Oh, man.
Including one that has 230, and on the hand history, is noted sitting out.
Smart man.
Just hoping that somebody else goes out. That's my guess.
Smart man.
All right, so he says, play a slowdown for the last couple of dozen hands as the bubble approaches.
Right.
It always does.
Right.
But our hero has been selectively aggressive and has recently doubled up with Jack.
Okay.
Right, this is how Phil Helmuth makes his money. He says, you know, when he gets on the button, he's very aggressive and chips up.
Yep.
And when everybody else is scared, they're not going to make any money.
Very, very true.
All right, so the blinds are at 120, 240. So Pirate Toot, our little sitting out short stack bidder, we get back in there and pick a hand to go with, I think. And a quarter ante.
Okay.
All right, Chip Jets in the big blind. Hero's in the cutoff and has 9-9.
Okay.
Pocket nines come up in the show all the time.
Yeah, because it's the worst hand.
It's the pocket eights with the worst hand.
Well, anything between sixes and tens, just death. And, of course, jacks suck. But, you know, you brought up Phil Helmuth. That's his favorite hand. It's his favorite hand. He won the World Series with 9-9.
That'd be great if I had my dealt 9-9 and look at it, a little squeeze, see what it's there, and it's a big skull looking back at it.
Skull and crossbones. You will die if you play pocket nines.
I mean, you should pass out of the table as soon as you get them. It'd probably be easier than trying to play them, because you can never win one.
So from now on, we're going to call 9-9 the Grim Reaper.
The Grim Reaper.
Because it means inevitable death.
All right, so the short stack folds. Middle stack, under the gun player, with 10,000 chips, raises to 560.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to our hero, and you are going to...
call.
You're just going to call.
I have position on him. I don't... 560 is reasonable. It's only 10% of my stack. All
right.
I will just call. I'm not re-raising with a Chip Jet at the table with 15 grand and two guys who are like one hand away from going out. So I'm going to see a flop, and then we'll see what happens. Of course, you know this guy's going to see a flop, too, and it's going to come with a 9, and he's going to lose, and something like that's going to happen, because that's why he sent it to us. But we'll see. But I would just call. I wouldn't re-raise here, I don't think, at this point, especially with those other short stacks behind us. So that's what I'm doing. I'm calling. What about you? You calling?
Yeah, I will make and I'll get the Ante Up Nation ready to throw rotten tomatoes at me here, but I will make a case to maybe you think, just think, not saying I do it,
right?
But possibly think about dumping these 9.
Oh, okay. Well, if you were going to say raise, I was going to call Dan Negrano right now on my cell phone and give it to you.
And the reason is that I've got an open raiser with more chips than I do from an earlier position.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a well-known pro with a lot of chips still to act behind me, and I have two very, very short stacks to take.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily playing to get in,
but
just get in the money, but...
I agree. I agree that there is definitely a case to fold pocket nines, but... this isn't that case.
All right, that's fine.
If you can see a flop for 560, and then Chip comes over the back and says, no, I'm the big stack, this is my tournament, my wife is watching me play, so I gotta shove here. So, I mean, if he does something behind you that's crazy, then I'd get away from it. But for 500, and I got 5,000, and I don't have to get involved after the flop,
all right.
If it comes all under cards, I might take it cautiously, who knows. But I'm going to see a flop with it.
All right. So our hero agrees with you, calls. The other short stack and the middle stack, get out of the way. Chip Jet, he ain't going anywhere, though.
He calls. Yeah, he's calling with, like, King Jack or something.
He doesn't have to be that.
No, it doesn't, exactly.
All right, three-handed to the flop. Flop is 9 of clubs, 8 of hearts, 10 of spades.
Oh, no!
Real mixed bag.
Oh, no!
Middle set. 50 cards.
Oh, and you know that they're playing paint in their hands, too. So one of them's open-ended, and one of them may already have a straight. We need to pair the board, baby. Pair the board!
So this is... All right, so this is why
I'm not getting
rid of those 9. Because now you're in a hand. You can't get away from this.
Yeah.
Right now, I guess. I guess it depends what the crazy action is. Because you're the last act, I believe, here, right?
Chip might be behind you. No, I can't tell.
You know, he's the big blind.
Oh, he's the big blind. Okay, yeah, so you're last act. Yeah.
So it's a hand you're not going to want to throw away. You never want to throw away a set.
No.
And it's middle set, so it's not even bottom set.
Yeah.
But God, there's just so much trouble here.
Yeah, but no.
Two stacks that are bigger.
You know, I'm still playing to win, so I'm going to play this.
All right. Okay. Chip is the first to act, pauses, and goes all in for 14,100.
Well, that's clear that he doesn't care because he'll still have 5 grand left no matter what happens.
Who calls? Yeah.
So, I'm going to say we have a better hand than Chip and call.
All right, well, you got a player left to act here, all right?
No, I'm just saying, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. I'd be racing four cards or two. I still have to call because I have 10 outs to make my hand.
It may not make much
hand.
Difference, but it does make a difference if you're going against two hands rather than one.
Right.
Even though you're calling off all your chips regardless.
Yeah, I know, but I'm calling.
All right.
Well, it depends. If the other guy calls, I mean, there's a bubble chance there. Who knows? But
see?
Oh, my God. Was there a fire alarm going off in the house here? What's going on?
But that's an excellent point. It's this other guy calls.
Yeah.
And Chip's got him beat. He's got him covered. Boom, he's gone. You're in the money, and you've got two other short stacks left at the table.
All right. Well, I didn't have to act yet. I didn't hear what the other guy did.
No,
I mean, the other guy did.
Jump right in and say, no, I'm calling. It doesn't matter what he does.
All right.
Then you're like, wait a minute. All right. Scott's saying something, and I'll think so. Then they backpedaled, and then, act like you never even said it.
Just tell me what he did. I'm calling, no matter what.
All right, so the middle stack. Player asks for time, comes back from that time route, and folds.
Now I'm calling.
All right. Now I got to agree with you.
Now I'm calling because I need to win this tournament, so I need to get more chips to be able to battle with him anyway.
And then what I'm going to do is what Fast always does. I'm going to get up and turn the computer off because I'm sure I'm beat here or I'm going to get sucked out on. And I'm just going to accelerate my trip to the beer.
There's only one hand that we can't redraw on, and that's pocket tens. So, I mean, even then, we have one out for that. But, you know, if you've got the straight already or whatever, we still have our outs. So, I think we have the best hand. I think Chip was just being a bully, and he has, jack 10 or something like that, and he's got top pair with an open end draw or something. I think that's what I'm guessing, because it doesn't matter to him if he loses his free roll.
Well, the other thing is I can't imagine we're behind right now.
That's what I mean.
There's no way he's pushing all of his chips with a razor and a collar. If he's got a monster hand, he's going to let somebody else put some more chips in before he crushes him, right?
So I think that's what he's doing. I think he's doing it with a pair and a draw or something of that nature. I don't know, but we'll see.
Okay.
But I'm calling.
Chips are in the middle of the table. The cards follow. Chip has queen of diamonds, 10 of diamonds.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. Almost open-ended, but yeah.
Turn is the 10 of hearts.
Ooh, so we got a boat.
River is the 8 of spades.
So we win, right?
Both players have a full house.
Yeah, but we have a bigger one, right? We have 9s over 8s. He has...
Chip has 10s full of 8s.
He has 10s full of 8s. Oh, man.
9s full of 10s.
Oh, man. See, now that...
That's a little clear on there. Little scribble.
He played it perfectly. He played it perfectly. That's just runner. And that's full tilt rewarding Chip Jet for being a red pro and giving him runner to win.
Wow. So, I mean, that's what... again, 9s. They sort of folded.
Yeah.
It's all in a matter.
Yeah, I know. But, no, you have to play that hand, Scott. You can't let that hand go. I mean, if we're talking about $1 million and, you know, or whatever, that's one thing. And you got plenty of time. But, I mean, I guess he had some time still. He was only 240 with the blinds and a 25 ante, but... No, I think he played it perfectly. I don't think there's a mistake in that hand.
No, I guess.
The only other thing is maybe raising with the 9s, which I would not do. But I'm just saying maybe re-raising with the 9s earlier to get Chip to fold his big blind. You know, if you make it 3 times the 500, make it 1,500, then maybe you get him to fold.
Yeah, you're opening up a whole other
I know. But that's really the only thing I could think of.
We talked this up just bad luck.
Oh, absolutely.
But I tell you, when we get at the bubble, that's the last hand I want to see as a middle pair.
I know, and I told you, they all suck. Middle pairs suck.
Because the big bruiser, real poker player, and you tell you, hey, you can't fold this, you gotta play this.
Yeah, I know.
Just be careful.
I know.
And then the wimp, which usually wins out, and he said, I'm just gonna fold this. I stay safe, and then I end up going on the bubble anyhow.
I totally agree. I agree that, I mean, a fold would not have been a mistake there. But then again, if we said fold, then we would have to listen to the whole hand. And know that we didn't want to play it. But I would have played it. I definitely would have played it almost exactly the way he played it. Probably exactly the way he played it. And, you run a runner, bad luck. You know, we fill up and then he gets another 10 or whatever. And that's just ridiculous. Or whatever. He gets an 8 to pair the board twice. Yeah. You know, what are the odds? We're going, pair the board. And then it's like, no, I didn't mean to say it twice. Just do it once.
It's like when you buy something on Amazon. Don't click twice.
Exactly.
Your credit card will be charged twice. All right, well, the best part of the story at the end is our Tate from Massillon is not the guy who had pocket nines that went in. He is Pirate Toot. The 210 stack that was sitting out.
Oh, that's great.
It actually says an anemic short stack.
That is great.
Apparently, I unfortunately had an emergency to attend to early on, and he left with 3,000 in chips, and then he was shocked that he found out he won some money. Couldn't believe what happened on the hand.
Wow.
It wasn't even there.
That is so cool.
And it just kind of fell right into the money.
That is so cool.
Somebody got too excited with the pocket nine.
All right, well, hey, that was played well. Whoever it was, let him know. Because it wasn't from our guy. But whoever it was, let them know that they played their hand well. And we can't do it because you can't even pronounce the guy's name. We can't go find him on Full Tilt and say, hey.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I can type his name.
All right, another good hand of the week, another good show. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of Annie Up Magazine and is edited by Chris Cosenza. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.